Are you ready to build a life that's not just fulfilling on the job site, but off the job site too? Welcome to Building Joy, the podcast series from TCL that's all about crafting a brighter, more satisfying existence in every corner of your life. I'm Manny Nevis, the host of the Construction Life TCL podcast, and together with happiness life coach Teresa Greco of the Steps to Happiness, we're laying the blueprint for true happiness. Every episode, we dive into real challenges and opportunities construction workers face in their pursuit for joy. From the long hours and the physical grind to the alliance and pride in the job well done, we're here to show you how to bring more joy into your work, your personal life, and everything in between. Got a story, a question, or just need some advice? We're all ears. Email us at manny@theconstructionlife.com or steps2truehappiness@gmail.com or drop us a message on social media at @TCL_theconstructionlife or @TeresaGreco_steps2happiness. At Building Joy, we know that happiness isn't just a dream. It's something you can build one brick at a time. So tune in, connect with us, and start laying the foundation for a happier, more fulfilled life. After all, the greatest structure you'll ever build is the life you lead. Join us on Building Joy, where we're constructing a better tomorrow, one episode at a time, because life's too short to settle for anything less than joy.
Well, I think that, another, she said about her having the human experience. And, Yes. You know, that for me is like one of those little statements, because I live like that, which, you know, she said some other things that basically gave me the understanding that she's in alignment with this, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And spiritual beings means that the infinite, eternal, energetic part of me that's in this space suit, which we had another guest share, that's here for a very limited time, came here to learn, grow, and expand. And we do that through different experiences every single day, allowing life to show us more about who we really are. And then one day when we check out of this spacesuit and we go back to where we came from, that I want to say that I did all that I could. I don't feel like I have so much energy inside that I know that I came here to do lots of things. I didn't come here just to sit on the couch and veg and do Netflix all day and let my life pass me by. No. I'm here for lots of different things. I have so much that I want to enjoy and experience. And so, she said that she wants to be able that when she checks out, know that she made a positive difference, that she did good things, she uplifted people.
And she is, and she has, mm-hmm. and she's continuing to do so, which is great.
Yeah.
Let's give Erica a call.
Okay.
Erica?
Hello.
Hey, can you talk now? Are you good? Going?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Thank you. So sorry about all the changing the day, just kind of the conversations went long. And so sorry about that. But thank you so much for jumping on.
Yeah, no worries.
You can hear me fine?
Yep.
I want to introduce you to Teresa. She's on the other end of the podcast there. She's my co-host on this show that we do.
Hi.
Hi, Teresa. How's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us today.
Of course.
So we do a show, Erica, called Building Joy, and it's all about reaching out to people, and we call them, and then we have the guests on the show for a little bit, and we just talk about everything that's going on in your life that's sad, and what's going wrong, and how can we help you get it worse, all that. I'm joking with you. I'm totally joking. It's all about just finding joy and looking at happiness and all the little things. And that's what this whole show has been about, is just speaking to people and what's going on in their lives. And you can share as much as you like, whether it could be professionally or personally, about what's going on, basically.
Okay, sounds good.
So would you say, where are you on the happiness spectrum? So if we, how happy are you?
You know what? When Manny reached out to me yesterday and said, hey, listen, I'd like you to talk about happiness. And I had to think about that. What does happiness mean? Mm. What does it mean to me? And what is the concept overall to everyone else? Mm-hmm. And I would say, personally, in the last, I would say, month, I haven't been happy. Mm-hmm. But I've learned that the things that I went through, I guess you can say it's just, it's life. Mm-hmm. And in essence, right now, we're all kind of struggling. I read last week on the World Happiness Report for March of 2024, mm-hmm. Canadians under the age of 30 are actually experiencing a substantial drop in life satisfaction. We actually ranked 58 mm-hmm. out of 143 countries that were measured for last year, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember who was the first?
The first was, I believe, was Finland.
Yeah, and yes.
And the second I thought was very interesting was Israel. Yeah. And they're at war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as a country, not, this was prior though. That was, it was prior to like all the stuff, but like people in Israel live a really, they live a really good life. They're very happy people there. The government does lots to support their citizens in lots of different ways. They are, as a nation, they are pretty happy.
I'm just taking a moment out. Just sorry. And what do you think is going on, Erica? Like, I mean, let's back in our own backyard. Like, I mean, outside of obviously our economy, our leadership, inflation, like there's a lot of struggles. And I guess there's a lot of questions going on in people's lives. And they're trying to figure out what is the certainty that we have in the near future. And maybe that's contributing to, I'm not really, oh.
Well, I'm going to just pick on something that she said while you're doing that, which is that life is constantly pulling us away, like every single day. I am somebody that wakes up happy every single day, but it's the world around me that pulls me away. That sometimes it's like, you know, your kids have rolled out of bed on the wrong side. And they come and they're just like, nodding. I was like, wow, what's wrong with you? Or you go to work and now like you're feeling okay. But then now there's a coworker that's come in and is grumpy about their life. So you're being pulled away. So when she said we're having these ups and downs, that makes sense because we do. It's what we do with the downs. That's the whole point, right? That we don't stay there and unpack our bags. That happiness for me is like the sun. And the clouds move in front of the sun sometimes and things get gray and dark.
Erica, are you there? Sorry.
I'm there, but it's cutting in and out.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Did you hear me about the sun?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
But you can hear us now? It seems okay?
Yeah, now it's good. It literally just hung up before. I don't know what
happened. I know. Yeah, just I don't know. I'm going to blame our communication business. So, I was just saying, so we were just talking about, I guess the understanding is that there's probably a large portion of people in Canada that are not happy because the uncertainty of the near future, right? And they're looking at what is really going on with us and just, you know, the economical climate that we have right now, the uncertainty of what people are thinking about. I mean, is that contributing to what your thought process is?
That was definitely a few of them. And what I realized is that when you asked me that question last night, what I found in the past to find happiness is actually a couple different things. Whenever I'm unhappy about something, I figure out, okay, why am I unhappy? And in the end of the day, I know this sounds very shallow, but money does buy happiness. So how can I buy more happiness through money? And how can I make that change my life? Now, is that the means to everything? No, but it's going to get me to the things that I need to do. So, you know, and I was actually doing some research here. And for 2023, the average national salary for Ontario was $64,000, okay. Which is crazy because in 2020, it was just $61,000. And we went up for inflation, I did the calculations, 14.58%. So,
and it only went up $4,000, $3,000.
Yeah, so our salary went only up that amount. But inflation went up 14.58%, which means if salaries got caught up to inflation, it should have been around the 70,000 mark, right? So when I looked at that and I said, okay, you know, look at things that you can add to your life that will make more money so you can do the things that you want to do. And when I was looking at, you know, things, what you can do to make more money, actually, according to the Glassdoor, one of the world's, which is the largest job and recruiting sites, for trades, the actual average annual salary is 70K.
Okay.
And what I think a lot of people think too is, and this is something I was thinking about yesterday, not everything needs to be done in an office. You know, there's many other things that you can do outside to not just improve your life, but also improve that status. You know, we're always worried about rising home prices and affordable living, right? But, it, you know, making more money, staying home doesn't have to be a vibe. I tell my friends this all the time. Like, I got to stay home because I got to pay my mortgage. I can't go out. I think we can do better.
How do we do that?
I think, okay, so a couple of things I would say, and what I've done to improve my happiness is find a side job. Find something that, you know, can make more money. I think the second thing is I think it goes beyond financial capabilities. And one of the things I felt, and I would say a lot of people are feeling too, is there's two other components as to why people are not happy in Ontario and are not happy in Canada in general right now. One is they don't have the ability to feel safe or have stability. And the second thing is that they're less supported from family and friends. After the pandemic, everyone kind of,
yep.
I don't want to say everyone went their own way, but it hasn't been the same.
No. A line was drawn. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think where we could also improve as a whole, and even in myself, one thing I learned is improve that social connection. You know, we went from a place where we were having luncheons, we were connecting with coworkers. That as a person, that made me happy before. And I actually read a stat this morning that in trade, 60% of construction workers actually feel lonely. And this was done through a study called Frontiers Public Health, where they collected it from 35 samples.
60%. Did they indicate what sex? Or was that majority male?
It was majority male. 5% was female in the construction industry.
Let me ask you this, Erica. I'm just curious. If you have a lot of Canadians that their dream was to live in the core, but they're not able to afford the core anymore, so now they can't go out and enjoy that lifestyle of the core, so then they're staying home because they have to pay their bills. Wouldn't they be happier if they decided to live elsewhere, somewhere in a rural area, and be more in touch with the community and start meeting different people and be part of farmers markets and things like that instead of being in the core and not having to worry about these escalating bills, and they can actually live within their means and then socialize more often? Wouldn't that be a better lifestyle?
100%. I think that would be a better lifestyle. And I was actually talking to a friend last week, and she was telling me everyone wants to move to the core, but they're trying to also improve rural areas in Ontario, and they're actually giving out grants now for housing for people to move to. I think there's a city called, she listed five cities, but I think it's called Cochrane.
Okay.
I can't remember the other four, but if someone's giving you even money to move to a rural area, again, where you can have social connection, you can have farmers markets, you can do the things that you want to do, I wouldn't think twice. I'm thinking about it right now.
It makes sense. Doesn't it make sense? Like, I mean, are you ready to take your construction business to the next level? Consider joining the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program, TAP, where skilled professionals connect, collaborate, and grow together. Our network is built on mutual respect and the shared goal of always building better. As a member, you'll have access to a wealth of resources designed to streamline your operations and attract more clients. From a 30-minute assessment call with myself to expert consultations in business, finance, and health. We've got you covered. Your business information will be featured at www.theconstructionlife.com, complete with certifications, logos, and geo-targeting to help you reach the right audience. Promote your business with a 30-second advert across TCL social channels and our popular podcasts. Get exclusive access to TCL networking events and roundtable shows where you can connect with other tradespeople and general contractors, plus enjoy TCL merchandise, member-exclusive content, and a spot in the TAP directory online. We're going to promote you guys to homeowners across Facebook groups. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your business. Become a member of the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program today and start reaping the benefits. Visit us at www.theconstructionlife.com for more details, or DM us through any of the social platforms, or text me directly at 416-433-5737 to learn more and consider being a TAP member today. To me, it makes sense because I don't think the core has the value of what everybody thought it had. It's completely changed. And last weekend, I actually went down to Bell Trinity, right? So I was in Queen West in the neighborhood, and obviously they had their little market going on there. And I was just chilling out on the park bench for a while. And I was people watching, and I saw couples and I saw, you know, individual people, and I didn't see much teeth. If I was a dentist, I wouldn't be in business down there. Like, it's just not everybody had this expression on their face that they were happy to be around that area. Or were they just happy because it's attached to their status, that M postal code is giving them their happiness, which I don't think it is.
And I agree with you. I think, and I'm going to speak for myself on this. The last, I would say, 3 weeks, I actually got exhausted. I was like, do I keep going and burn out? And I was in a very unhappy state, and I questioned a lot of different things. And so, you have to think to yourself, okay, do I want to keep living like that? Do I want, like, and you were observing too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking around, you're going, okay, like, what's going on here? How do we change this? What do we do next?
So we can't change anything outside of ourselves. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. No one, nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing outside. We can't change anything. All we can do is control our response to what's happening outside of ourselves. And so my question to you would be, what is in your happiness toolkit? So I'll explain to you what that is. So your happiness toolkit are the tools that you turn to when you feel like you're not happy. So I see happiness like the sun. This was something I was sharing when we lost you, that happiness is like the sun, but sometimes the clouds move in front of the sun, and it doesn't mean that the sun isn't there. The sun is always there. Our happiness is always there, but sometimes the clouds move in. How long the clouds stay there, that's up to you. Some people prolong the clouds in front of the sun longer than necessary just because they don't feel like moving past it, or there's some kind of benefit to the clouds being there, and that's why they hold on to the clouds. But nevertheless, we can deal with those clouds by turning to our happiness toolkit. So in the toolkit has all of the different things that we know work for us. And not all the tools involve lots of money. That during the pandemic, when some of the things that I thought brought me joy, which was shopping, that was one of the things that I like, going to the mall and looking at like the new fashions and the clothes and trying things on and having a coffee and like that whole thing. So then I said to the universe, I said, well, how do you expect, and this was lots of people, how do you expect me to be happy if I can't go to sporting events, I can't go to concerts, I can't go and eat at patios, I can't go on vacation, I can't like go to the movies, like lots of different things that people assume their happiness is tied to those things. But those things are actually just a vehicle that helps you to connect to a place inside of yourself that is always happy. So we have to differentiate between the thing and the happiness, because it's not the happiness. So when I ask you what's in your toolkit, I now have things that don't involve any money at all. It just involves like me being and being very present. And often it's me being silent and just sitting on my back porch and just looking out at nature. And sometimes it's just me, like this morning I did outdoor yoga and just staring at the blue sky and watching some like birds just kind of fly by. And I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. So that's my question is to you. We need to know what those tools are in our toolkit. Like, what are those things that you know that you can turn to? And I'm just saying that maybe some things cost money because they're a vehicle that help you. But like, oftentimes, most of the time, that the things that connect us really doesn't take any money.
So in my toolkit, I would say, and things that I turn to, you go to yoga. I like to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll take a couple of Pilates sessions, and I'll even do ones or I'll find classes that are outside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing I like to do is even just walk along Lakeshore and get an ice cream. Mm-hmm. Another thing I'll do too is I'll have a bonfire. Mm. You know, things in my toolkit and actually how I've learned to simplify certain things. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about joy here today, mm-hmm. is what actually brings you joy and what does the benefit come out of it? So I'll use this as an example that I used to have in my toolkit and now it's out. I used to go to Starbucks almost every day. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm getting a coffee. It's costing me X amount of dollars. This is also diabetes because I'm not just getting coffee. I'm getting the Frappuccino. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sitting there meeting with anyone.
That was funny. So, I'm also getting diabetes. I'm not just getting a coffee. I'm getting diabetes. Sorry. That was funny.
Okay.
But I'm also just picking something up. And I'm not connecting with anybody.
No.
I'm not connecting with the local barista. I'm not meeting anyone there. So I could just make my coffee at home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of anyone's toolkit, what they need to understand is, okay, it's not just about minimalism, but what in their space do they need and what makes me happy? That's one thing I was like, see ya, like the, I don't need to do this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't add joy. If I was with a friend, sure. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I do too is, and you mentioned about the sun's always there, but the clouds come in. And sometimes the clouds are there for a long time. What I also do when I get really down in the dumps is I have a gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't journal, I did this, this, and this today, but it'll have each and every day. Three things that you're grateful for.
Beautiful.
And sometimes I think to myself, you know what? There's someone else out there that doesn't have a mattress to sleep on, mm-hmm. that just went homeless yesterday. Mm-hmm. I just talked about coffee, but, you know, didn't even have the opportunity to enjoy a coffee today. Mm-hmm. So I'll reflect back on that. And that is also part of my toolkit when I'm like, okay, you know what? I need to stop. This is normal life. And look around, like, look what you have and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for that. And it's funny that you talk about coffee because I talk about coffee too as being one of the things that I enjoy so much every day. My first coffee in the morning, it's like I actually go to bed, I can't wait for the coffee the next morning. Because, and so I think that if you love coffee as much as me, I ensure that like the coffee I have in the morning that I make at home is like a brew that I really love, right? Like it's not for me. I don't like strong coffee. So it's like, it's just the right one. I have, you know, a couple brands that I like and I use, that Keurig and I make it and I have an espresso there too if I'm feeling like I want something a bit stronger. But when I have it, I just, and I make sure I have the cream in my fridge. Like I have all the things that are going to make my coffee that in the morning and it just tastes like so good. And I also barely go to Starbucks, like unless I'm having a coffee date with somebody, that's really the only time I'll go there because it's way, way, way too expensive. And I have found fulfillment making a really good coffee at home. And so I'm like, I had to pick on that because I'm like, yeah, I'm a coffee person too. But, you know, we've talked about on this show that sometimes it is just the simple things we think. And, you know, when you shared the idea that, oh, you know, we would all like more money, but this is like a Western culture problem. That we live in a society where we've been brought up with a lot of marketing and consumerism that has brainwashed us into believing that we need more, we need more, we need more, and then that's going to provide the happiness. But in the end, what we're actually like, we think, oh yeah, maybe if I go on vacation and I go to Cuba or, you know, whatever, I'm going to be so happy. And yeah, we are there. But what are we actually seeking in that experience? And if you, again, drill down to say, well, I want to go and have drinks on a patio with my friends. But what are you really seeking out of that experience? And for me, it's like good conversation. I could actually give a shit about the other people that are on the patio. Sometimes I like to people watch, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's like, it's actually engaging in the conversation that I'm going to have with my friend. And I can have that anywhere. I don't have to go, you know, to some expensive and loud patio to really, really connect. And research has shown that when you said about social connection, it's more about the quality of that connection than it is about social connection, right? Yeah. So people think, oh, I need a lot of followers. I need a lot of friends. I can count the number of people that really like mean something to me on my hand now, because it's like so few. So the social connection isn't about me being, you know, at some loud party with people I don't really know versus having like just quality time with someone who appreciates me and I appreciate.
Erica, can I ask you, are you alone in this, or are your circle of friends of the same mindset?
I would say when it comes to, and I want to backtrack here a little bit. So I do agree with you guys that on the Western side of things, it's like, when does it end? To make more money, to make more money, to make more money. Mm-hmm. But I would say we're all in the same boat when it comes to with everything that's going on, we're not making enough to enjoy life, if that makes sense. We're the type of people, I'll tell you this, my circle of friends, because we're going back to materialism and things that make you happy, and then just going out and another thing I do too is I have a paddleboard. I go paddleboarding, and we have great conversations, and then we're in the water. Mm-hmm. But we're the type of people that we don't buy adult sippy cups. We're not buying those Yetis every 5 minutes, you know, like stupid things like that. I think we're on the same boat when it comes to that social connection. I think based on my friend group, we can improve that 100% from where it was before.
What's an adult sippy cup?
Yeti.
The Stanley cups.
Yeah. The expensive cups.
Okay. I didn't know.
I like that.
Okay, all right.
Adult sippy cups. And so when you said that you can improve your social group, do you mean by eliminating some of the people that are negative and maybe a little toxic and too much drama, stuff like that?
Oh, no, I've already done that. I hit my 30s and I was like, see ya. I had a bigger friend group. And then as you get older, you know how it works. People kind of go their own ways. They're in their own sort of different things. I think going back to what you said earlier, which is, hey, you're going to come over and we're going to have a great quality conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, in my early 20s, when you said about going on vacation, you said about Cuba, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, some people just make more money to go to Cuba. I just thought about this right now. When I go on vacation, I go on vacation, yes, to relax and to be with friends, but I'm also going there for an experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I can carry with me and it's also part of my happiness. Like when I talk about it later down the road, I'm like, yeah, I went skydiving and this is what happened and da-da-da-da-da. And it always brings me back to a happy time.
Yeah. But the thing is that we have to find, and not to say that that's not in our toolkit, right? That we want to have new experiences in one, absolutely. But if we can only have those, you know, once or twice a year, what do you do the rest of the time, right? So your toolkit has to be where it has other things in there. Not to say we can't work towards those things and saving up money to experience them and everything, but we can't be unhappy for the rest of, like, you know, 360 days because we're going to have a 5-day experience where we're going to be super happy.
But then create mini versions of that. Mm-hmm. So take it on a monthly basis and just go, listen, next month, September, I'm going to disappear for a 4-day weekend. And it doesn't mean you have to get on a plane. You can get on a train. You can get in a car. You can ride a bicycle and just create an experience and actually schedule that experience and go, this is what I'm going to do. And if you speak to a friend of yours and ask them, do you want to join me? Then fine, let's go. And this is what we're going to experience. And that's it. Then create a next one for the next month and so on and so on. By the end of the year, you got 12 of those. Mm-hmm. Over 630 shows. The Construction Life. This show is constantly evolving. The idea is that I'm listening to the guests and I'm listening to our audience and I'm trying to figure out where else can we take the conversation. Listen, I understand. It's not always about swinging the hammer. I've told everybody since day one, TCL is 50% about swinging the hammer and TCL is 50% about the person swinging the hammer. So now we're taking it to the next level, level X. In TCLX, we invite guests to share their dark, hidden secrets of the industry without fear of reprimand. Each guest's identity will be protected with visual blurring and voice modification, allowing them to speak freely and openly. You might want to tune in to TCLX. It'll be exclusive. You'll have to find it where the real hard stories are going to be told and nothing's off limits. Because at The Construction Life, the truth matters. Book now to be a guest on the show. You can DM me through any of the social platforms. You can email me at info@theconstructionlife.com or you can text me at 416-433-5737. TCLX is coming soon.
I would even say, too, you don't even necessarily have to do, let's say, a 4-day vacation, for example. But we talked about community earlier on, whether it's a small town, whether it's a big town. Last Saturday. So I said to my friend, I said, you know what, you want to go go-karting? She goes, yeah, let's go. Mm. And it ended up being full. And I said to her, I said, let's go to the rec room, right? Which that's a place where, again, you're spending money. But what we ended up finding is we ended up going to the Latin Festival, which was completely free. So unexpected, and we had a great time, and then more friends joined us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a matter of planning, but I think a lot of people in my circle, I would say, and I know other people are complaining about this too, because we're all talking about it, but the social connection is really lacking. Mm-hmm. And I agree, I think there's a lot of things you can do that, hey, you want to meet up? Okay, let's go. That's it.
Thank you so much, Erica. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy, and it's a pleasure having you back on the show briefly.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I actually got the opportunity to think about what is actually really going on right now. This is how I'm feeling. Wait, what is happiness? And I got to work on, there's some things in my toolkit arsenal, but it's got to get worked on.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the day. Appreciate it.
You too.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I appreciated her comments because I get stuck in that too, that we want to afford certain things. But then I have to really reflect on, like, the reasons why I want those things. Right? Things, whatever they are, clothes, bags, experiences, who knows, whatever it is. And I thought, oh, I don't have enough money for that. I don't have enough money for that. But research shows that once our needs have been met, basic needs are met, that a lot of money on top of that really doesn't make us all that more happy. that there was a study, and actually my TEDx talk is about this study. So in 2010, the study showed that, and they just did an average because it was between 60 and 90,000, but and that in 2010, now that average would be up to 110,000. That after that amount, people who had millions in their bank account reported the same amount of happiness as people that are just at like 75,000. So it didn't matter how much more money you had, you weren't going to be any happier.
But society's driven to make more money.
Well, because that's the whole marketing and consumerism that says you need stuff. You need. It's not, you shared this in one of the other shows where you said long time ago, they sold shoes just because you needed something on your feet, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't about like it being the latest and greatest shoe. It was just about having comfortable shoes to get you from one place to the other. And so products were even sold, like were made to last. Because it wasn't about having the latest and greatest, like, you know, dishwasher or washing machine with all the bells and whistles. It was about having something that could last 25 years and it was of quality. Yeah. Whereas now they make stuff like it's called disposable fashion, which, you know, you go to Joe Fresh, $10 is a new t-shirt, pants $20. And it's like, oh yeah, this is great because you can just like wear two times. I remember watching like a City Line show was like, this is the best thing. You wear it one or two times and then you throw it out. And so you can keep buying the new freshest, whatever comes out in the new season.
Yeah.
And you think, oh wow, that's nice. Well, because why are you only wearing it two times? Because when you wash it, the t-shirt is like warped like this, or it has balls all over it, like lint balls all over it, because it's misshapen because the actual quality of the garment isn't there. So you think, oh yeah, I have lots of cheap, technically lots of cheap stuff that apparently lets you look trendy every season. And that's a really cool idea. But this is what the marketing and consumerism is, right? The
we new iPhone. We get sucked into it.
Yeah, you need the new iPhone because it has this, because it has this. When they sell you on all these new features. And I also think they send out updates on the phone that like corrupts your operating system and forces you to want to get like
several times.
Get you like, you know, the new thing.
Consumerism.
Yeah.
They just want you to buy.
Yeah. And research shows that, you know, happiness is not found in those things, that we're no happier now than people in the 1940s. If anything, we're actually a couple points less. And in the 1940s, not everybody had washing machines and dishwashers and all the gadgets that we have in our house. Didn't have any of the gadgets.
So this would have been after the Great Depression and before
in the 40s,
World War II?
No, after.
After war, so the late 1940s.
It just said 1940s.
So yeah, it would have been late 1940s going into the 50s. That's when the boom was. That's when everything started changing. But they were really mass consumerism going on there. They were convincing families to buy these homes, buy these cars.
Well, that's like now.
Yeah.
That's like now. Buy. You need these things. But actually,
80 years and we're still at the same kind of state of happiness.
If anything, a couple points less. So we're not any happier, even though we have all of these gadgets.
I think people would be a lot happier if you disconnected from these gadgets.
I know.
We joked. I had a meeting, long meeting this week. And once again, Roger pulled out his flip phone. And all the, myself and Jim that were there, the older guys, we just looked at it going, I want one. Because of the disconnect that it gives us.
Yeah.
We're not going to text using one digit to get the three letters. So we're definitely not going to text. We can't get connected to the internet. So we're not going to be doom scrolling or like that. Yeah. We're not going to be doing any of that. What are you going to do? You're going to make a phone call and you're going to receive a phone call. That's what you're going to do.
That's basic. And I've been asking people that question too, that we were born in a time when we had rotary dial phones and typewriters.
You can buy
school,
them again. Eh?
Huh?
You can buy one again.
What?
A rotary.
Oh, dial phone.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. And then to like the evolution of where we are and where we're going with technology, right? If you could go back to a time, maybe I like your idea about the flip phone that you're not going to, you know, press one button three times.
Take your SIM card out
letter.
And you could put it right into the flip phone.
Because I thought maybe just the pager was, you know why I selected the pager? Because the pager, somebody could let you know they needed you, but you could decide when you wanted to respond, right? So, I mean, if somebody needed to get a hold of you, then the inconvenience is you had to go and find a payphone somewhere, right? And but usually it was like at the gas stations or whatever, you could find one. How many times you pulled over?
Pull over, there's a payphone.
Find your 25 cents to like make a call. And so, okay, the flip phone would be easier than that. But the pager was just like, oh, you know, you could choose when you wanted to respond.
It's funny you're bringing up the time period. And I would say that the 80s were known for such mass consumerism, like huge. Like that's the era of the Wall Street player. Like that's the Reagan era. That's like we want to buy, right? But you didn't have all of this other crap that we have now. So you still had consumerism going on there. Mm-hmm. You had brand new products like Jordans and all kinds of other products that were coming up, and they were expensive at the time. But the thing is, I joke about Saturday Night Fever, where the movie opens up with him walking on the sidewalk, the classic Bee Gees track, and he stops at the store because he sees a shirt and he wants to buy it. He can't afford it. He asks the retail owner, can I put it on layaway? And he goes, okay, fine, $5 a day or $5 a week for the next 5 weeks or whatever, and you can have this shirt. And then he worked to pay that shirt off so he can have this shirt so he can go out and be that player out. And that's how it was a different time where you can still appreciate like interaction, but you were still consuming products. You mm-hmm. weren't distracted, and you were definitely not being fully lied to by leaders, right? There was corruption going on there, but not to the level that it is today. So it's like, if I can go back to a time, it would be the 80s there. And if you get rid of all the glass block, I'd be totally fine. But that's where today they're doing it by purpose, aren't they? They're doing this.
Oh, totally. There's a whole psychology behind
it. And she's not joking. Erica's 100% right. You go get a Starbucks there, you're buying diabetes.
Yeah, I love that point. It's so funny.
And also, but a lot of the treats that are being sold too, like a lot of the consumer, like this whole GMO world and all this, like this is all purposely being done. Like, I don't know about you, but there's no Teflon pans in the house. Like it's just, I don't want to deal with that. And now the Teflon flu is a thing. It's like you almost want to make people sick so they can go from one entity that's not trustworthy to another entity, which is Big Pharma, that's not trustworthy.
Yeah.
And everybody, that's why I was saying that it makes more sense not to be in the core anymore and try to be in a rural area, be part of a community, be part of a farmer's market, be part of social, like engage with, I bet you'll start seeing a bunch of younger people doing this and choosing this because it's healthier.
I think it's funny that you said being in a community in the rural. I live there. There's no community. I don't know
really?
Any of my neighbors. No, I don't know. We don't know any of our, because we don't need each other like people did before. People can be, that's why a lot of relationships are breaking up. They technically don't need someone else anymore. You don't need someone, you know, to barter products with but they had to before. You needed your neighbor before. Like my mother-in-law, you know, she didn't have a car. And so if her kids were sick at school, she'd go to her neighbor, and her neighbor who had a car would go and like, you know, bring her to the doctors or run her errands. Like all of the neighbors needed something, you know, whether it was babysitting, whether it was a ride, whether it was an egg, whether it was, now you just
nobody
go.
Nobody does that.
No, because you can just go buy it on your own now. You don't I don't need my neighbors for anything.
Is it the fear of interacting with somebody? Like look at our doorbells. We don't even answer the door anymore. We engage with a camera and a button to speak to somebody.
I think the safety, what she said, you know, that was, there was an element of safety.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Safety and security is, so we have five basic needs. When you know what those five basic needs are, then you can look at what it is that you're trying to acquire or achieve and see which need it's actually filling. And then you can say, how can I fill that need in a way that doesn't cost very much money? How can I fill that need in a healthy way? Because some people feel like, let's say the love and belonging bucket, they don't always fill it in like a healthy way. You know, because they're engaging in like,
they're filling a void.
Yeah, too much porn or extra like marital or whatever, right? Right. So not everybody, a lot of people don't always fill it in healthy ways. So you want to recognize that too, to say what changes can you make to to fill that need. So that's why while she was speaking, I was listening to say, okay, which need is she actually trying to fill? And does she have to fill it in that way? So freedom is one of those needs that we have. Then there's the like the fun, which is the fun things that we do. And to say, can you, you know, the feeling that you get, like that sense of like fun and happiness, can you get that without spending $5,000? What other thing can you also do that still gives you that sense of fun when you're doing it?
Well, she and mentioned it about like, the go-kart, right?
Yeah.
And then they did something else.
And playing with your kids, right? Mm-hmm. We had a guest that talked about that. And playing with their pet. Like there is other ways for us to have, like we're having fun just doing the show. So yeah. There are ways to have fun that doesn't involve hundreds of dollars. When you recognize that that's the need that you're trying to fill, then you can say, okay, how can I still experience and fill that need in a way, as I said, that's like doesn't involve a lot of money. For me, freedom, that bucket, I feel so free when I'm on a walk like by myself. And I'm just like walking. There are times I'll close my eyes even just to feel like the wind against my face as I'm walking like through space. Yeah. Or even this morning, like as I looked up at the sky on my yoga mat, it was like, oh, this feeling of like peace and freedom that nobody is asking anything of me in that moment. Like it's just me in space. And it didn't cost any money to get to have that sense of freedom. So, you know, knowing what those needs are, you can, it also, it's very helpful to be able to figure out what other people are doing, like through other, like other people's actions, for example, to say, oh, you know, they're not doing this because they're trying to fill this need. So for example, like again, the fun bucket, my kids have chores at home that they're responsible for. And they'll say, oh, I'm not doing it now because I'm going to go out and hang out with my friends and whatever. Well, it's because that need to hang out with friends, so to have like love and belonging, is more important. And that need, if we look at them as buckets, so this is going back to William Glasser's work, and he looked at all of those five basic needs as containers. And when the container gets low, we will try to fill that need.
Yeah.
But when that container is full, so one of the containers is safety and security. Safety and security is, it's that, but it's like your health, it's paying your bills, it's making sure you have food and shelter and all the things that make you feel safe and secure. When that bucket gets low because you're not earning enough money, so I can appreciate, you know, what our guest was saying, that, you know, the inflation is making everything cost more and our wage isn't compensating for that. So of course that affects our safety and security. And we feel that, right? When we watch the news and we talk about the break-ins and the cars being stolen, we feel like that bucket then, instead of it being full and we don't think about it, now it becomes like a concern, because we think for some people whose mortgages are going to start coming up and the interest rates are, you know, a lot higher, then you think, oh shit, what am I going to do about this, right?
Yeah.
So I can understand that, but understanding which need it is, that which container might be a little bit low, you can start to then think about, okay, how can I fill this need, but doing it in a way that doesn't cost a lot of money.
And there's always a way to do it that way.
And is healthy.
Yeah.
And is healthy.
Very much. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you so much.
Another good bunch of shows. And, yes. And I'm always very appreciative of everybody that's taking the time to speak with us and share and opened up. And I know that they're connecting. So
me too. Thank you.
It's been fun. That's it. We're all done.